If you're not already there, you can turn in your Bibles to Revelation 12. You know, every week when I come here after speaking at Hillview, I have rolling in my head the words of Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz. There's no place like home. I love you guys. Revelation 12, we'll get to our text soon enough, but to introduce the text, I want to tell you, you know, I've never been in the military, but I've seen a lot of casualties. I'm not an ER doctor, not a paramedic, not a firefighter. I don't work in law enforcement, but I've seen a lot of injury and death. You know, I have in my possession a document. It's a list of names. A list of names with a few additional details. That list of names is a roster of a church. And those additional details are, there's a column that says arrival date, titled. And there's another column titled departure date. You know what I mean? And sadly, I don't like looking at that document because the column departure date is filled in many places. You know what I mean? Can you think of someone even now who you love who had a departure date? Now, some people will leave the green grass of a church, a healthy church, and they find new grass in another place. And in that new grass, they grow strong and they prosper. And maybe they had left us or left one church as a consumer, and they grow strong enough to actually be a producer. And I hear word that they're actually growing more grass than they're consuming. And when that's the reason that they've made a transfer, even though I might miss them, I rejoice. It's a net gain for the kingdom of God. Maybe you can think of someone like that. But sadly, there are those who leave the green pasture of a place where they were growing and go out into the desert. You know what I mean? And they stagnate, and they become cocooned within themselves. And they're like an ungerminated seed. There's life there, but there's no fruit. There's no growth. And then, saddest of all, are those that would leave the church and the fellowship of the saints. And it's puzzling to us when they turn back to the world. And they no longer are growing. They've regressed. And as Scripture says, they're like a dog that returns to its own vomit, or a sow after washing returns to wallowing in the mire. And you see in them the flesh is once again reigning in their hearts. And they're insulting the Spirit of grace and trampling underfoot the Son of God. You know what I mean? You might ask, why are there these casualties? And why are they, sadly, somewhat common? You know, Christian, we're in a war. We're in a war. And it's good versus evil. It's light versus darkness. It's God versus Satan. I don't have slides this morning. You're going to get a lot more preaching when I get warmed up than you're going to get teaching. But if there's something I want to leave you with, you need Christian brothers, sisters, to know your enemy. You need to know your enemy. There's probably no chapter in Scripture that I can think of contains more information about the character and conduct of our enemy than Revelation chapter 12. Know your enemy. You probably didn't come to church this morning expecting a message on Satan. That's what you're going to hear. I mean, wouldn't you admit he is one of the most influential persons in the history of mankind? Would you admit that? Would you admit that he is one of the most influential persons in the world today? And that he wouldn't hesitate to tempt you who are in Christ? Know your enemy. Before I start reading in Revelation 12, I want to do a little review, though. Have you been following? I'm looking at the youth here. I love it when you sit up front. The number 7 comes up many, many times in the book of Revelation. Have you been following that? How many churches were there that Jesus evaluated? Rica! 7. I saw the head snap back. Maybe I should stop that. Right? How many seals were on that scroll? 7. How many trumpets sounded? Elijah, 7. And we heard last week in Revelation 11, the 7th trumpet sounded. You know, that is right up to the very end of the Great Tribulation, the 7th trumpet sounds. So chapters 12 through 14, we're not advancing a narrative now. We're doing kind of a replay and taking a look from a different perspective at some of the things that went on, not only during this 7-year period, but even things that predate the tribulation that leads up to that time where God is judging those on earth who have rejected his Son. Let's read Revelation 12, verses 1 and 2. A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon was under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was with child, and she cried out, being in labor and in pain, to give birth. We see a great sign here, a wondrous sign, and the sign appears in heaven, but it's going to relate to things that are on earth. And that right there is a clue to us. It's a sign. There's going to be symbolic imagery here. You know the parables. They're often introduced. Jesus spoke in a parable. As soon as you hear that, you need to recognize, there's going to be figurative language. A sower went out to sow some seed, and some of the seed fell upon the road, and the birds of the air came and ate it up. And our minds immediately start to ask, who is the sower? And what is the seed? And who are the birds? And what is that road? It's figurative language. So here we have a sign. It's a woman who is expecting, and she's crying out in labor. Who is this woman? And who is the child that she's going to give birth to soon enough? Sometimes it's best to delay your interpretation when you're reading Scripture. Some of the parables are actually interpreted after the parable. If you just delayed, you would have gotten your answer. No need to speculate. And we're going to find in this text, delaying our interpretation will help. You know, I liked Kirk's message last week. He used Revelations chapter 12, 13, 14, 15, and 17 all to help interpret Revelation chapter 11. He quoted from 10 other books in the Bible. You know, if you're really going to understand your Bible, a specific verse, you actually need to know the whole Bible and interpret it in the context of all that Scripture says. So who is this child? And who is this woman? We'll find out. You know, with this chapter, we're going to introduce another seven. You ready for another seven? Some say the seven personages or seven actors of Revelation 12 through 14. You're going to get five of them this morning. And we're going to review all of them at the end of the message. But let's read on. Then another sign, verse 3, appeared in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon. Wouldn't you think that's another one of the actors? We have a woman, we have a child, we have a great red dragon having seven heads and 10 horns. And on his head were seven diadems. And his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth. And I guarantee this dragon is no obstetrician. He stands before the woman ready to give birth so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. Wow. Wow. This dragon is described as great. Seven heads, 10 horns, seven diadems. They all affirm his greatness. And he's influential. With his tail, a third of the stars of heaven are cast or drawn to the earth. So who is this red-horned dragon with a powerful tail? If you think the devil, you're thinking correctly. You know, some of the imagery we have in popular common renditions of the devil, right? Red, horns, a tail, dragon-like. You know, that the trident that he holds, that's not biblical imagery. That comes from the Greek god Poseidon. You know, the hoofed feet or the cloven feet, that comes from another Greek god, Pan. It's not scriptural imagery, but red, a dragon-like with a powerful tail we have here. But let's not focus on the imagery, but something more important. Question for you. Is Satan so evil that he would consume a child? He anticipates the birth. And as a premeditated act, he's there waiting. To destroy him. The nature of our enemy. Do you know your enemy? If you're going to make a list, I would say start with Satan delights in destruction. Our enemy delights in destruction. You know, before I move on, I want to talk about this event where a third of the stars of heaven are cast to the earth. You know, I don't have time to fully explain it, but we saw in Revelation 1 that stars are equated to angels. And this is actually a record of an event that occurred in prehistory where Satan, Lucifer, the angel, the morning star, rebelled against God. And he was cast out of heaven. His domain is here on earth now. And with him, he drew a third of the angelic host with him. That's a lot of demons, wouldn't you say? More than a legion. He dwells here on earth. Our enemy is here. Not in hell. If you think Satan is in hell, that's yet to come. The lake of fire comes at the end of this book. He's here. You think it was easy for me to write a sermon on Satan? I mean, I know I can put on the armor of God. I know that he who is in me is greater than he who's in this world. Christian, we are at war, and we need to know our enemy. Do you have your helmet on? Are you holding your shield? You know, even though Satan's domain is here on earth, he can appear in heaven and make accusations against you and me right there at the throne of God. We see it in the book of Job. He's accusing Job to God, before God. I would say if Satan has a target here on earth, it's mankind. And if he's going to get a little more specific, he can't get to the child. The child's caught up to God in a safe place. But he can get sons and daughters of God. He can attack you and tempt you. Verse 5, so she gave birth to a son, a male child, who is to rule all the nations with the rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. So we find the child is a son, and that son of the woman is to rule the nations with a rod of iron. This son could only be Jesus. And in the millennium, he'll rule the nations. But where is he now? Caught up to God. He was here once in the dominion of Satan. Satan tried to destroy him. Remember at his birth, Herod, an instrument of Satan, tried to kill him. When he was weakened in the desert, having fasted for 40 days, Satan thought, that's an opportune time. Let me tempt him or test him then. It says in the gospel, Satan entered into Judas on the night Jesus was betrayed. I'm sure when Jesus breathed his last, Satan thought, yeah, I finally got a victory. He was surprised, wasn't he? On the third day, Jesus rose again and now is ascended and at the right hand of the Father. So now knowing the Son is Jesus, we can answer the question. We've delayed our interpretation. Who is the woman? You might think Mary, But as we'll read on, we'll see that this woman is going to be persecuted in the tribulation. Mary, or all the saints in heaven, you know, they cannot be assailed by Satan. They are safe in their eternal home. The only satisfying answer or interpretation for who the woman is, she represents the nation of Israel. We all know Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Who is that us in Isaiah's prophecy? The nation of Israel. In Revelation 5, we saw Jesus was titled the Lion of Judah. Jesus, just like Judah, is an offspring of Israel. And some would say those 12 stars that crown the woman represent the 12 tribes of Israel. What do we learn about Satan so far in wanting to know our enemy? You can add to your list, he's bold. He is bold. He's willing to take on the Son of God. Is that boldness? Our enemy is persistent. If he fails, he'll try again. And our enemy is well equipped. Remember the final temptation of Jesus? "I'll offer you all the kingdoms of the world and all their glory." They're his, you know. Do you think in his bait box he can find a piece of bait that might get a nibble from you or me? All the kingdoms of the world and all their glory? Bold, persistent, and well-equipped. No wonder we read in 1 Peter 5:8, "Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion, seeking someone to hug and kiss, seeking someone to devour." Satan will make his offer, Christian, when you're most vulnerable. I hope you have identified your vulnerabilities. I hope you've taken preventative action. Expect him to persist until the day you put off this flesh and are caught up to God, just like Jesus. Verse 6. No access to the child, but he has access to the woman. "So then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God, so that there she would be nourished for 1,260 days. The woman is not caught up to God, and the nation of Israel, it exists today and can be targeted by him. But here in the tribulation, God, loving his people, his chosen people, provides this place of refuge and nourishment for 1,260 days. That's 3.5 years. Now, some speculate that this verse 6 is also restated in verse 14, which we'll get to, which is another 3.5 year period, which they believe is during the Great Tribulation, God, the second half of the 7-year tribulation. I'm kind of inclined to believe this is God protecting the nation of Israel even during the first half of the tribulation. We heard already of the 144,000 from the 12 tribes that are sealed by him. And so we have Jesus is unassailable in heaven. The woman is in a place of refuge. This dragon in his fury is then going to turn his wrath in a new direction. Let's read verses 7 through 10. "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels were making war with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels waged war, and they were not strong enough. And there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the world. He is thrown down to earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Then I heard a voice in heaven saying, "Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night." You know, I believe this is a second event. There was that original sin of Satan, that pride where he and a third of the angels were cast out of heaven and made their dominion here on earth. But Satan still had the freedom to actually appear before God in heaven and accuse, make accusations. But here at the midpoint of the tribulation, there's this war in heaven between Lucifer, Satan, and Michael, the archangel. And Michael prevails. And Satan and his angels, there's no longer a place found for them in heaven. He no longer can spoil, I would say, the throne room of God with his accusations. He's been thrown down, and now his domain, or the place where he can do his work, is solely here on earth. You know, this text, of course, tells us straight up, right? The dragon is the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, right? Scripture interprets itself, doesn't it? You know what the word devil is in Greek? Diabolos, diabolical. Meaning an accuser. Our enemy, you can add this to your list, is an accuser. You know, spiritual warfare involves body, soul, and spirit. Satan will mess with your head. When he tempted Eve, didn't he call into question the words of God and the promises of God? You know, before we read on, I'm intrigued by the question, why would Satan, knowing he's outnumbered 2-1, only a third of the angels, the angelic host, rebelled, why would he take on Michael, the archangel, and his angels? I mean, did he actually believe he had a chance to win that one? And I mean, they're in heaven. I mean, where Jesus is. If the omnipotent God, Son of God, comes onto the battlefield, what's going to happen? We'll find out in Revelation 19 what happens. But why does he do this? You know, I thought about this. You know, Jesus, when he was in the desert, it seems clear Satan reads the Bible. He quoted Psalm 91 to Jesus. Why doesn't he read Revelation 12 and like, this is a losing cause. It's written right here. I'm going to lose this one. Why enter a battle you're going to lose? I think for us, we go, that's crazy. No one would do that. I think it tells us something else about Satan. You know, a sin-infested mind will act irrationally. Have you seen it? I've seen people, they are dying.